Hello, everyone. This is Joseph Pasek of barnburner.ca. Our twice daily fired up show is available on 108 platforms, also on the OSG Sports app. Welcome to another edition of The Breakaway, this time featuring Brittany Ramsey, who makes her return. Toronto snowing, Vancouver worst. And can we get out of the cold, at least in the snow, Brittany?
I hope, Joe. My gosh, it's mid-February, but you're right. My hometown of Vancouver getting more snow than Toronto right now, shockingly, because it's rare for Vancouver, but we both got it, so what can we do?
All right, let's start off with your hometown before we go to our hometown in Toronto. Vancouver Canucks, you know what, like they talk about Elias Pettersson all the time, but you know, Toronto Maple Leafs, Johansson there, If this guy wasn't playing on the fourth line, do you think he would be the rookie of the year?
No, and that's not my biased opinion. Elias Pettersson is absolutely incredible. The guy, I mean, some of the stuff he's doing, the way he sees the ice, the way he can play, it's actually magical to a degree. So he's running away with the Calder in my mind. The only thing that would change that now would be, well, let's fingers crossed, some sort of an injury. But in my mind, it doesn't matter what any other guy, what position they're playing or anything. It's Pettersson all the way for me.
All
and
right,
that's so, no disrespect to any other players, but it's just Pettersson. The guy's incredible.
All right, Vancouver playing Anaheim there just recently. Now Anaheim firing their coach. Who do you think is going to be the new head boss at Anaheim, and can they turn it around and 25 games left in the season?
You know, that's actually a good question, and I'm not, it seems weird to say, but I don't think that it matters who takes over as head coaching role at this point for the Anaheim Ducks. It's just, it's been an abysmal season for them, and it's weird because their roster, you'd think on paper, would be better than they have been on the ice, and for some reason, they just can't string it together. And like I said, I really don't think it matters at this point who takes over. They're looking ahead to the future at this point. Even though that Western Conference is kind of crazy in the sense of they're not even that far out of it at this point. But to me, they're far enough out of it that I don't think the other teams that are in the running will fall out enough for the Ducks to make it in. Do you know what I mean? So, yeah, but like I said, the West is pretty wild right now, and my Canucks are only 2 points out there, and two other teams have been surprising. St. Louis Blues have had a crazy turnaround to their season. The Avalanche have fallen off the wagon slightly, so it is a crazy conference, no doubt.
Yeah, let's talk about the Western Conference first. Vancouver, like you said, 2 points back out of Minnesota, but can you believe there's a three-way tie after that? Arizona, Colorado, and Chicago, and then Edmonton with 53. Out of those teams, I know you're going to say take away Vancouver because you're biased, okay?
Right.
Out of those teams, if I ask you at the beginning of the year, Arizona, Colorado, or Edmonton could vie for the last playoff spot, what would you tell me?
Well, I'd be saying that it'd be crazy to have Colorado in that conversation. They have arguably the best top line in hockey. And they've only won 5 games since December 7th, which is insane. And, of course, they lost last night to Maple Leafs. So that's my biggest surprise. I'm not surprised at the other top teams in the West, obviously Calgary, Vegas, San Jose. But I am surprised, well, and, of course, Nashville, Winnipeg, all these. I'm not surprised of all those teams being up there, but I am surprised that Colorado has dropped so far out. So that's my biggest surprise. Now, for teams near the bottom, Arizona. Especially they started at the very, very bottom, and they were almost the joke of the league, in a way, at the start. There's a lot of people joking, you're playing the Coyotes tonight, like, well, that's a guaranteed win. You know what I mean? And then they've magically been able to turn themselves around. So, but that's what I love about the NHL, is there's so much parity in the league that, you know, they're all NHL caliber teams. It doesn't really matter. Sure, you've got your ones at the top at this point, you know, the Lightning, the Preds, teams like that. And yeah, maybe the Coyotes on most given days aren't going to beat them. But at the same time, there's so much parity that nothing's really a given in this league at this point. So Besides the Ducks being out of it, I think that's a given at this point, Joe.
Okay, so let's continue on in the West before we head to the East here. San Jose is now, as we tape this, ahead of Calgary with 75. Calgary has 74. But out of nowhere, third place is Vegas with 66. Are you surprised? Of course, Vegas went to the Stanley Cup Finals last year, and they're, you know, maybe the 10th best team in the National Hockey League this year. They're a second-year team.
I know. Vegas, to me, has been mind-boggling since the very start. I mean, the fact that they went to the Cup Final last year was something no one predicted, and if anybody tells me they did, I do not believe them, because no one predicted that. And, you know, they had a bit of a slow start to the season. They did have a rough start, and everyone kind of said, ah, the second-year blues. It's sort of the, even though they didn't win, it's the Stanley Cup hangover, stuff like that. And they did have a slow start, but you're right, they've turned it right around. And, you know, they've got a lot of the same guys that are there. They're very well put together. They've got Marc-Andre Fleury still. They've added a few guys to that roster. So Vegas is in it just as anybody else, in my mind. Again this year. I'm really not surprised that they're there, Joe.
Just for argument's sake here, and you won't believe this, right now as we're taping this, if the playoffs were to start, Winnipeg would play Minnesota. That's like very close to each other. And of course, you would have San Jose and St. Louis, and of course, you know, Calgary, Vegas, Nashville, Dallas. So very intriguing. Now I want to go to the East. Intriguing matchups. You know, like, I was born in Toronto. You were born in Vancouver. But imagine having a first-round playoff series with the Maple Leafs and the Montreal Canadiens.
What?
That's the Stanley Cup. That's the Stanley Cup. Forget about the rest. That is the Stanley Cup.
That is the Cup. It would, honestly, it would be unreal. I mean, that rivalry has gone, it goes back 100 years. I mean, it's one of the best rivalries in sport. And they played the other night, Saturday night. That was one of the best games almost of the season thus far. And, you know, again, talking about a team that no one really expected to be there, the Canadiens. You have to sort of give their organization credit in the sense of they've kind of been a team that they've been crapped on a lot, you know? And I think, like, last year they had the Pacioretty stuff. They kind of... And I think that was sort of a weight lifted off their shoulders. No disrespect to Max Pacioretty, but that kind of drama with him and his contract and all that, that affected that team a lot. And to sort of not have that drama anymore, to just really focus on some of those young guys. I know there's been some stuff around Carey Price and whether he's, you know, there mentally or in his top form. But when Carey Price is at his top form, he is the best goaltender in the world. So the fact that they have that piece, and you know he can do it on any given night. And they've got all these little young pieces in there. And they just, the chemistry just seems right in Montreal. So are they a true contender to me? I don't know. It's a tough go, especially in the Eastern Conference. But, I mean, they could be. And if they played the Maple Leafs, it'd be a toss-up in my mind who could win. Because, to me, Carey Price could stone an offense like the Maple Leafs. And... I don't know. It would be very interesting. It'd be a good one.
And you know, you mentioned a surprise, the Habs, but let's talk about, for me, the surprise of the East. The New York Islanders leading their division, the Metropolitan Division, when they lost John Tavares to the Leafs.
Right.
And their goalie is amazing. He was, you know, for Buffalo, you since you're in Toronto, you watch Robin Leonard last year play for the Sabres, and he was horrible. This year, he plays for the Islanders, and this guy's arguably could win the Vezina.
Right?
Amazing.
That's what I was talking about. Some of the parody earlier I was talking about. Sometimes the league's funny that way. I mean, sometimes guys need a fresh look. You know, sometimes teams need one thing. It's getting rid of one guy. And I'm not saying getting rid of Tavares was the key for the Islanders. But I just mean maybe for the Islanders, it's kind of, okay, our superstar golden boy is gone. Now we've got something to prove that we can do it without him. You know, like, and maybe that's kind of part of it. And sometimes the little pieces just come together. You know, obviously former Calder winner Matthew Barzal is there, you know, having another good season. So I don't know. Sometimes these things aren't really all that explainable. Sometimes they just, pieces just come together and it kind of happens. And I think for the Islanders, like I say, they have everything to prove after losing a guy like John Tavares. So I don't know. I don't know if they're true contenders when it comes down to it. You know, they could be a team that makes it in and loses in the first round, depending on who they play. But, yeah, I mean, they have been impressive. There's no doubt. So I like stories like that. That's what the league's all about. You know what I mean? Good stories. Vegas being one of them last year. So I'm into it. We'll see what the Islanders have to show.
And we talked about the Leafs and the Habs, but imagine a first-round series right now as we're taping this. It's Tampa and Pittsburgh. And let alone Tampa and Pittsburgh, Pittsburgh is only a point ahead of Carolina and 2 points ahead of Buffalo. Could the Pittsburgh Penguins forget about playing Tampa in the first round, make the playoffs? Because right now they're hanging on by their teeth.
That would be one of the most unexpected things in a long time if the Pittsburgh Penguins don't make the playoffs this year. And you're right, there is a chance that they may not. I think they will, because I think when it comes down to it, when it comes down to the grind, the Pittsburgh Penguins know exactly what it takes to get there, to be there. And once they're there, how can you count them out, right? So they've been there so many times before, and obviously their core is still, I mean, they have arguably, well, the best or second best player in the world in Sidney Crosby. So I'm not worried about them. If they don't make it, it would be a shock. But you're right, it is close down to the bottom. But I think Pittsburgh is that good that they know what it takes in the push to get there, to be there, to stay there.
All right. So Brittany, 10 days from now, basically 10 days, you're going to man the barn burner trade central desk. Yes, there is such a thing. All right. Because there's going to Sportsnet starts at 8 o'clock. TSN starts at 8 o'clock. But here we're open like 7-11, 24 hours a day. I got Brittany there, Jared. Never mind. All right. Which players and which teams do you expect to be active during the trade deadline? Of course, that happens February 25th.
Well, there's a lot of names flying around. They've been flying around for a couple of months now. I feel like the trade deadline is February 25th, but we start talking about it in October, right? A couple of weeks in, we're already talking about it. But a lot of names, a lot of veteran guys kind of getting flown around as potential rent-a-players for teams. A lot of guys that are going to be UFAs as of July 1st that are potentially getting moved for the deadline. You know, some of the top names, Michael Ferland, Wayne Simmons, Artemi Panarin, of course, Matt Duchene, Mark Stone, both out of Ottawa, could definitely be moved at the deadline. A lot of teams shopping around, and I think a few of our Canadian teams are the main ones that should be shopping around. So it should be an interesting deadline. And last year, a few moves happened that we didn't really expect. I thought the most interesting move was Vander Kane to San Jose, which in hindsight has been one of the best moves in a long time for both, for the team and for the player. But this year, I don't know. I feel like it'll either be some insane moves and be so exciting, or just nothing's going to happen. You know what I mean? Like, it could be one of those years where there's a lot of talk and then nothing really happens. So we shall see, but as for the Canadian teams, you know, I've been all over the Leafs and their defense this year. I don't think it's good enough. I still don't. Getting Jake Muzzin for them was a great move. He's not hurting them in any way, shape, or form. He's helping them, definitely. That was a great acquisition for them. However, I still don't think that defensive core is good enough for a Stanley Cup run. Morgan Rielly having a career year, up for the Norris. I love Morgan Rielly, but in my mind, you aren't a proven number one defenseman until you've made a playoff run or won a playoff round for your team. And no disrespect to Morgan Rielly, but he hasn't done that yet in his career. So if he's your number one guy, and yes, he's having that kind of a season, if you're going to ride on him through the playoffs, a guy who hasn't really won anything, let alone a team who hasn't won anything in a long time, I'm not sold. I'm sorry, Leafs fans. I'm sorry, I'm not sold. So if I'm the Maple Leaf, I mean, hey, I'm not Kyle Dubas. he's done some things that we've been shocked by already. But to me, you need another defenseman. And if it doesn't happen at the trade deadline, I'm not sold on the Leafs. That being said, if they don't do anything, the off season is going to be big for the Maple Leafs, and there's going to be some movement, no doubt. So I know that's looking even farther ahead, but if they don't do anything at the trade deadline, and they don't at least make it to the conference final, if not the cup final, then they have to make some changes in the off season, for sure. Because clearly, if you don't do it this year, then you're not good enough. Well, so that's my take on the Maple Leafs.
I agree with you with what you're saying about the defense, but I got to ask you about the Maple Leafs. Okay, two things. Number one, what do you think the contract of Austin Matthews, $11.634 million, sort of the same contract you have with us here at Barnburner?
Right.
So what do you think of that contract? And do you think that the Leafs would sign Mitch Marner? Let's play a game here. Where do they sign Mitch Marner? And do you also think that there's several teams, rumor has it, that they're going to offer him an offer sheet? So let's say a team like Buffalo, a team like Arizona, a team like offers $13, $14 million to Mitch Marner. What do the Maple Leafs do then? Because they already have John Tavares making $11 million, Austin Matthews making $11.6 million, and you've got to fit in Mitch Marner around that.
Right. I mean, the Leafs are going to have some tight cap issues upcoming. In my mind, Mitch Marner, does he deserve as much as those two? Yes. Will he get it from the Maple Leafs? No. And here's my reason, is that the league typically centers, top centers get paid more anyway. And the league pays for goal scorers. And Mitch Marner can score goals, but he's not a goal scorer in the same sense as Matthews and Tavares. Look at Mitch Marner's points right now. How many assists does he have? 40 plus, 50 plus now? Like, he's leading in that category for a reason. Mitch Marner's had a phenomenal season. I think he's their most valuable player, in my mind. He is, besides Frederik Andersen. And that's a rant for another day, because I'm a huge Frederik Andersen person, but he won't get as much as they do he won't get as much as Matthews and Tavares have signed for. He just won't, not from the Maple Leafs. Now, if someone else offers him something, Joe, that's a good question. Part of me thinks that Mitch Marner is the type of guy that will take less to stay in Toronto. I think he likes it here. He's from here. They obviously have a great squad there. So I don't see him leaving unless they undermine him a lot. You know, if the Leafs only offer him maybe like 8 or 9 and he gets offered 13, 14 somewhere else, then there's a possibility. But I think he's going to get around the 10 mark, not quite the 11 mark that the other two are at. And if he gets that, I can't see him leaving.
Well, Mitch Marner has, as we're taping this, 20 goals, 47 assists for 67 points. He was the Leafs' leading scorer last year. I'm not saying he deserves $11 million or whatever, but even if he gets 10, so you got Matthews at 11.6, you got Tavares at 11, 10, that's still $30 million, $31 million for three guys. I know the cap is going up, but you signed, and this is going to rear its ugly head again, you signed Willie Nylander, your favorite, to a $6.25 million deal, and you already have Marleau signed for that also. So there's $12 million under two guys that really are not your first line players.
I know, and I have said it before he signed the contract, and I'm still saying it now. At some point, and it probably won't be this year, but William Nylander will be traded. That contract, to me, is for another team to take on, not for the Maple Leafs to have. In my mind, I totally could be wrong. That could be the hottest take of the year for me. Yeah. That's what I think. But going forward for the Leafs, Like, Jake Gardner won't be back. They'll have a couple other guys that can free up some of their cap space. Nikita Zaitsev has a big problem in their cap space.
Yeah.
His contract doesn't make a lot of sense for what he does. But I still my take is that William Nylander won't be a Maple Leaf for all that much longer.
All right. So as we close out this edition of The Breakaway, and we're doing this in mid-February before the trade deadline, I'm going to ask you, give me your Stanley Cup Finals pick. Not the winner, just your pick.
Oh, man. That's a tough one.
I'll ask you the same question after the trade deadline. So
okay,
go ahead.
Yes, because that could change things. In the East, I can't go with anybody else but the Tampa Bay Lightning. I really can't at this point.
No.
I mean, look at them, for crying out loud, right? So I can't bet against them at this point to come out of the East. The West is interesting, and I'd love to say Winnipeg. My heart wants to say Winnipeg. I love the way that team's built. I love what they did last year. I mean, they almost were there last year. I love what they're doing this year. But I'm going to say San Jose.
So you're going with Tampa and San Jose.
Yep.
And are you going to grow a beard in honor of Joe Thornton? Never mind.
Yeah, I might make the attempt. Yeah, right. I might have a tough time with that.
All right.
And then you draw it on.
Yeah. Tell everybody how they could get a hold of you social media wise.
My Twitter is @TheRamsSports. The B is B-E-E, like a bumblebee. So B-E-E-R-A-M-S Sports. That
All
is
right.
My Twitter handle.
That's Brittany Ramsey, one of the best here on Bar Burner. She'll man the Trade Center desk here. I got you scheduled in from 7 till 11, all right? And then you could
great.
Go. It's going to be minus 65. Then you could have a Slurpee or something like that, all right?
Yeah, okay.
So check her out, to Brittany Ramsey, and this has been another outstanding edition of The Breakaway. Thanks, Brittany.
Thanks, Joe.